It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Take Command podcast. Craig Hoffman here. Logan Paulson there. And we've gone through the tape. It's a tape Tuesday. Logan, I'm excited to talk about it. Plenty to talk about on the tape. We'll get to the defense, which obviously a lot of people have questions on, including, I think, us. A lot of people have questions on later on in the show, but we're going to start with the offense, and we're going to dive right in with what is, I think, starting to become a kind of cohesive offense with an identity. There's obviously a lot of room to grow, but what did you make of the game that Cliff called, how they deployed their weapons, kind of the big picture offensive stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think I really liked what Cliff did. I think they started off a little bit conservative in terms of play call. You know, they were very kind of RPO heavy. You know, I think you see that with all the screens they threw early on. Those are, again, those are ones that Jaden can hit. They're not true RPOs. They're more like counts. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you like the count over the screen or you like the spacing over the screen, go ahead and throw it. And obviously some of those are reads, but I'd say a huge percentage of those early plays were just RPOs, trying to get them in a rhythm. And I appreciated that. I think the other thing that I was surprised at going back and rewatching the film is how many second and long and third and long plays they were in. Usually when you're running the play volume between the 20s that those guys are running, you think that they're going to be crazy efficient on first down, but they weren't really. And so I thought that they did a good job overcoming, you know, we went to training camp over summer and we watched them do like a lot of second and long work, which I thought was great. And they did a really good job managing those situations. And then as the game went on, you know, I think we were talking about, oh, did you feel, you asked me a question, I forget exactly the wording, but it was like, did you feel Jaden kind of opened up in the second half? And I really feel like yes, but also I feel like it kind of, there was a play, I forget the exact number, where like Zach's running this sail route. He kind of escapes to his right and delivers the football down the field. And it kind of bred some confidence in him. And early on, like, I think Cliff, again, like I said, was being conservative with the call, which I think was appropriate. But I think it took like a call that was a little bit more dynamic and Jaden pushing the football down the field to kind of open them up. So I think there was a lot of good things. I think there was a really cool formula to kind of see. And I thought it changed quite a bit from week one, you know, just in terms of kind of some of the stuff they were getting to, which I thought was really good. And so overall, I thought the offense, outside of the red zone, obviously, did a pretty good job, you know, of just being innovative, using formation. Like, there's a bunch of plays where I was really impressed, even in the run game, where Cliff used formation and not necessarily motion, but formation to maximize stuff. And, A lot of cool stuff like that. So I was very pleased with the offense. Obviously, they got to score touchdowns instead of field goals, but I think there's a lot of good things to take away from that performance for them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, at the end of the day, this offense through two games has had 15 drives. They have ended in a field goal attempt or a touchdown on 12 of them. Now, Kay York obviously missed a couple. You know, Austin Seibert didn't. And there's way too many field goal attempts in there. And we'll talk about the red zone stuff here in a few minutes. But at the end of the day, like, that's an offense that's figuring out how to problem solve. That's an offense that's doing a lot of really good stuff. And there are more problems to solve, but I look at those as growth opportunities. But there's some stuff that I just really like in terms of detail, Logan, that I think is, like, prevents the offense from shooting itself in the foot in ways that I've seen other offenses do in the past. A couple of examples just of details, or even like, it just gets you an extra 3 yards by design. Like, you win with the pen an extra 3 yards of, I don't know, on some of these plays, whether it's a true play action, whether it's an RPO, whether it's a bubble and they're just carrying out the run fake. I guess that would be the play action, but like on the inverse of that, like, hey, we're going to carry out a fake of the bubble on a run play, but it was run all the way. And I think a lot of those are those box count plays that you're talking about. But because they all look the same, the players defensively have to respect them. So, like, if you have a problem with a corner coming and filling a run, let's just get rid of him by having a bubble action on the backside of a play or on the play side of a play. Now he's an extra step out of the hole. That's an extra 2-3 yards by nature. You know, the linebackers can't crash as quickly to the run because there's a threat of the bubble. Like, those kinds of things. On their screens, one thing that I've loved is the rat killers on screens. Like, they always have someone blocking backwards to make sure the screen doesn't get caught from behind. You can tell that it's purposeful because, like, there's one where Andrew Wiley never even looks to block forward. Like he peels off and is looking backwards and picks off Kayvon Thibodeau. And you're like, great. Kayvon Thibodeau's not making a tackle and tripping up a dude from behind. And so those little things might only get you an extra 3-4 yards because it's taking one player out or making a player a half step later to a play that he ultimately makes. But we talk about getting out of second and long, like the difference between second and nine or third and nine and third and six is huge. And so I just really appreciate, and we can talk about the run game and you could probably do an hour on the run game alone and the detail in there. But the detail level in this offense, especially considering last year we were preached, oh, attention to detail, and then it was sloppy all year. The simplicity and detail of this offense is really fun to watch. It's clearly well thought out. And while they will continue to figure out how to deploy all the weapons that they have, I appreciate the clear thoughtfulness that has gone into it so far, and it has been cohesive. And again, I'll use that word one more time, detailed in ways that result in extra yardage on many of their basic plays, which are these, let's call them RPO family type of plays.
Yeah, and I think the RPO family stuff, you know, well, there's a lot to unpack there. The RPO family stuff I thought was really interesting because, you know, I'm always like, man, RPOs are a little bit messy. You know, personally, like when I watch them in college, when I watch them in the NFL, it's just like if the defense plays them right, you're really throwing the screen into a bad look. And that happens sometimes in the game. But what you're earning is you're earning like horizontal space in the defense. And so there's a couple times where they're not throwing those screens, but because of how often they've thrown them and because how effective they were early on, you're essentially holding like four coverage players over the screen over a three-man surface. And so that player that's supposed to be fitting the run is no longer fitting the run, and it does lead to explosive plays. And so, you know, when you go back and watch Cliff's stuff from 2021, that's the thing that shows up is how you've stretched the defense horizontally. And one of the things you talk about, like with outside zone, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, like name your kind of offensive coordinator in vogue, like that's something that they're really excellent at, whether it's with the run game, whether it's formation, it's motion, and it looks a little bit different than Cliff. But I do think it was interesting to watch that, just a different way to skin a cat, you know what I mean? A different way to get to some of this space, which was great. And then, you know, you mentioned the detail, and I've been really impressed, honestly, with the detail of the offense over, especially this game. Again, I expect this to be a metric that fluctuates up and down as the season goes, because I think that, you know, like this was a good game. They're going to have a regression game. Then they'll have another good game. It's a new offense. But I do think like some of the details in the run game, some of the details in formation, I think that, that trick play or the kind of pseudo throwback play to Austin Eckler, I thought that was beautifully executed. The timing was excellent. And that's just shows a nice maturity in the offense. And I think it shows Cliff emphasizing stuff in the week, in terms of time and preparation to maximize those opportunities. So I was really impressed with a lot of that as well. Again, that detail and that the spacing and all those things we just alluded to kind of wane when you get to the red zone. Obviously penalties influence that a little bit, but in the field again, and the other thing I thought, you know, everyone's like, where's the explosive shots down the field? Again, some of this stuff we just described leads to explosive runs, leads to explosive kind of check down type plays. And those explosive opportunities, again, are what make offenses go. So it's a little bit unconventional, a little bit different than I think what I am used to in terms of watching, in terms of like quote unquote successful offenses. But the tenets and the principles are still there. And I think that's something I'm really encouraged by. And I think you got to give props to Jaden Daniels because he really is the straw that stirs the drink, so to speak, because again, there was multiple third and longs, second and longs where he's able to scramble and again, keep this team in a manageable, you know, either fourth and one or third and short situation, or get the first down, which if you think about it, like we were talking about Daniel Jones in 2021 and how effective that offense was. And a big part of it was he was just stealing first downs. And I think we see that with Jaden right now.
For sure, yeah. We'll get to Jaden here in about 5 minutes, more specifically. But last piece of kind of the big offensive picture is the bad one for this week, which is the red zone. I'll offer one piece of simple analysis. Penalties are bad and they don't help you, especially when you are like, hey, it's fourth and one from the three. If we can just lunge forward and get a first down, we have four shots from the 3-yard line. And there was one of those on a fourth down. I think there was another one on a third and one. Like, and it's all pre-snap. There's one hold that Cosme had after a previous, on the previous play, if you will. There was an offside. So offsides, now it goes from like 3rd and 4 to 3rd and 9. Cosme has a hold on an incompletion. It's just decline. But every single pre-snap or every single penalty that got enforced in the red zone was a unforced error pre-snap penalty. And those are absolute killers. Beyond that, or if you want to expand on how that actually wound up affecting the play calling and the execution, Logan, certainly you can add more than penalties are bad that I just gave. But what ultimately is the thing or are the things that prevented them from scoring touchdowns on Sunday?
Yeah, I wish there was some type of deeper, you know, philosophical football analysis here. But when you get a penalty on first down, you get a penalty on second down, and it's 2nd and 15 or 2nd and 20 or whatever it is, like, it's hard to get first downs. Like, analytically, it just increases the probability of not getting it substantially. And again, the other thing is, I thought, you know, they were very efficient running the ball in the field. And when they get down in the low red, I thought they'd, you know, Cliff was, again, sticking with his identity. And I'm not, this is not a criticism of Cliff, but the running efficiency declined on a couple of those. I'd say 3 out of the 7, he started with a run that went for like no gain after an explosive run. And then there was one sequence, I think you already described it, where Austin Eckler has a 5-yard run, he has a 4-yard run, they're in 3rd and 1, someone jumps off sides, they're back at 3rd and 6 or 7, whatever it is, and then that's much harder to kind of complete that, right? So when the running efficiency was there, in the low red, they didn't capitalize on it. And then I felt like sometimes it put them in bad spots, honestly, like where they had a first down run after an explosive run, and it was like a gain of nothing. And then so you're in 2nd and 10, and again, that's hard to manage. And I think he did a good job calling his way out of it, but then the penalties, it just becomes hard to surmount that or overcome that. And I think that's something that, again, they'll probably look at. And that's the hard thing about the low red, is the margin for error becomes really, really small. And having watched Jaden over the first 2 weeks, like, one of the things I wanted to see was how he operated in the low red. And I think it feels like, based on play call, and again, I have no, I've not talked to anybody about this. This is just pure speculation after watching the game. I think they want to make sure that Jaden is not leveraged a ton in those situations, because they're not asking him to do a ton. You know, it's like, hey, here's a run, here's a screen, here. And again, those screens look good, but the efficiency of those plays, which were excellent in the field, weren't quite as good in the red zone. And obviously that's going to lead to not scoring points.
Yeah, for sure. That hey, let's get a 4-yard screen. That's valuable in the field. It's like, hey, let's get to 2nd and 6. Sweet. Yeah. When you're at the 8-yard line, now you're just 2nd and 4 from the 4, and yeah, it's really hard to score from the 4-yard line.
And a lot of those weren't, like the one to B. Rob's an incomplete pass. They had one to Zach Ertz that they set up that was really well spaced, and the timing was a little bit off, kind of in the low red. Like, Zach's supposed to bump the rusher, doesn't bump him quite enough. It throws the timing off. Jaden could probably make the throw, but there's a guy right in his face. So there's two opportunities that end up in, you know, getting you to 2nd and 10 or a loss of yardage, because I think he took a sack on one of those, or, you know, he might have scrambled for a gain. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it just, yeah, some of that efficiency wasn't there. And again, it's a little bit quicker. The defense changes. I think that's the other thing that's important to note too, is the Giants' philosophy shifts a little bit in those situations, and some of the stuff that works in the field isn't going to be quite as effective.
I would also say the quarterback run game is going to be really big for them in the red zone. Already has been this year. But you got to give credit to the Giants. Their ends are so freaking athletic.
They're very athletic.
Burns and Thibodeau did a really great job of staying square, being able to play either option, if you will, on the zone read. And so they could kind of force a handoff and then go make the tackle, or they could force Jaden to keep it and then contain him, not let him get to the edge. And there's not going to be edges every week that can do that. Jaden's just going to be able to fake the handoff and go, or if he gives it, that edge is going to be out of the play, and you got numbers on the front side. So that is probably their number one weapon in the red zone, I would say, based off what we saw in camp and preseason and what we saw even in week one. And that was, I don't want to say it wasn't available, but it was a much, much harder thing to use in week two against the Giants because of how athletic Burns and Thibodeau are. And there's a couple times down in the low red, like 2 or 3, where they ran zone read and those guys shut it down too. So that not only is it a loss of, you know, yards or no gain, so that you're in those bad down and distances, but, you know, one of your tools to overcome that is kind of off the table.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I do think that there is a, you know, again, like there was a little bit of an execution there issue there, I thought, at times too. Like there was one time where Jaden's doing the zone read and they've got blockers out in front and Kayvon Thibodeau's like kind of in between. And I'm like, man, just take that. You know, I think you can probably, you can outrun him to the edge. And then there was another time where they brought a nickel pressure away. So they're reading the right defensive end. They bring a nickel pressure to the offensive left. They're supposed to fan to it, the offensive line, so push to the blitzer. The Cornelius, you can see him trying to talk to Allegretti, get it communicated. They don't get it communicated. Thibodeau ends up hitting him right in the back, you know, as he's trying to read that out. So, again, there was, again, some of that efficiency, which was in the field, just wasn't there in the red zone for whatever reason. You know, I do think it's something, it's important to note, like having played in this stadium, not, you know, Northwest Stadium, but obviously when it was FedEx Field, the that when you get in the bowl, even in a whole home game, like down in that those end zones, it gets a little bit hard to communicate. And I think we saw a little bit of that, again, with some of the penalties, with some of the issues. So again, like with a young offense, those are details that come later. And so hopefully they get those things corrected and they look sharper going into next week.